fiction feeds your fantasy. A little fiction dampens the reality. A little fiction. Hello and welcome to The Writing Cast, where we explore the craft of writing. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 84, Mind the Meter. Your resource this time is a contest. Go to timeoutnewyork.com/get this. Scroll down to Right Now, and you can win a free in-person or online course from the Gotham Writers Workshop. The link will be in the show notes. This week, I've been getting nanobites ready, and that's at nanobites.thewritingcast.com. I've got episode zero up. I've got the promo up. They kind of sound a little bit alike. It's going to be a daily podcast for NaNoWriMo participants. It's going to be prose strengthening techniques that will help you get to 50,000 words without any really bad cheats, like typing the 600 times. It's going to work on things that when we write fast, we tend to brush over, like description, like foreshadowing, things like that. I've also been outlining a 6-part story. I had planned on using the Pleiades and matching each of the 7 sisters, as the Pleiades are sometimes called, to one of the 7 deadly sins. Not overtly, of course. But one sister would have a jealous boyfriend, and one sister would be struggling with obesity, and all under the umbrella of the larger story. But you know the problem with using the 7 sisters for this? There are 9 of them. That didn't work. So I've gone back, rewritten it to the structure that I like. I'm hoping it'll all come together pretty well to a nice 6-parter when it's done. I've been going through a limerick phase lately, and it's not good. Limericks are, to define them, they're 5-line poems. The rhyme scheme has to be A-A-B-B-A. They're humorous. They can be bawdy, but they don't need to be. Lines 1, 2, and 5 have 8 or 9 syllables each. Lines 3 and 4 have 5 or 6 syllables each. The lines are either in an anapaestic meter, which is short, short, long, short, short, long, short, short, long, or amphibraic meter, which is short, long, short, short, long, short. Traditionally, line 1 introduces a person and often a place. 2 examples would be, there once was a lady named Bright, or what a swimmer is Dracula's daughter. These are silly wordplay poems. Oh, just to finish those 2, anonymous, there was a young lady named Bright whose speed was much faster than light. She set out one day in a relative way and returned on a previous night. And from Dr. Demento's Dinner with Drac, what a swimmer is Dracula's daughter, but her pool looks more red than it ought to. The blood stains the boat, but it's easy to float, because blood is much thicker than water. I put this one up on Twitter. A dragon was in quite a plight when she fell in love with a knight. Whenever he met her, he tried to behead her and wouldn't go out Friday night. I have some other really bad ones on my blog, and I'll link to them in the show notes. The thing I like about it is the sound of them is so much fun. You recognize them as soon as you get into them. And they're playful. They're very structured, but they're very playful at the same time. And I think that's kind of, you've got the meter, you've got the number of syllables all well-defined, the number of lines all well-defined, where things have to play out all well-defined. And inside of that, you've just got so much room to play. I think it's just a really cool form. The 3rd annual Catholic Writers Online Conference is open for registration. It's free. It's online. It's from February 26th to March 5th of 2010. You don't need to be Catholic, just respectful of that faith. Pitches are for Catholic books, but overall it seems interesting for most authors. Find out more at CatholicWritersConference.com. I will link in the show notes. I finished writing a book of haiku. Well, Senryu, really. I blogged about it. It's in the editing stage now, and I've built my list of whom to market it to for when the edits are finally done. And it's hard editing a book like this, because it's really a matter of completely discarding a poem and putting in a new one, or just shuffling them around a little bit. But Senryu are sort of strange. Once they come together, for me, they kind of come together. I can't go back days later and edit them. I tend to lose the flow. I'll spend like an hour trying to get one exactly the way I want, but after it's exactly the way I want, I can never touch it again. I'm odd with that form. I mentioned poetic meter earlier, and that's what I wanted to talk about this time, not only for poetry, but for prose. And I want to add four more to get the discussion going. The first is the one everyone knows, and it's an iamb. It's the short long. It's the one Shakespeare always used. Inert is a word in an iambic form. There's the troche, which is the opposite. It's a long short. Peter is a word in troche form. Dactyl is now three beats, and it's long, short, short, so cantaloupe. Aspandi is two longs, too stressed, so sandy. When we discuss meter, we have to throw feet into the equation, and a foot is a count of meters. So a diameter is 2 feet. Peter Parker is a troche diameter, for example. A trimeter is three. A trimeter dactyl has the sound of a running horse. Da-ta-ta, da-ta-ta, da-ta-ta. A tetrameter is 4, pentameter is 5, iambic pentameter, of course, the most famous, hexameter is 6, heptameter 7, octameter is 8, you get the idea. For poetry, you can make up a pattern and hold to it throughout. Perhaps a line would be 2 dactyls and a spondee, and then just maintain it throughout, and it gives the poem a sense of a beat, a sense of an underlying, almost a drum beat going throughout the thing. But in prose, these are really subtle things. Iambic meter rushes the reader through. It pulls you along, but you don't really notice it. Listening to Shakespeare's "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" You kind of flow to the end of the line really fast, but you're not really thinking of it as "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" It's not that stressed when you hear it. It's just, it's there and it sits under the surface. Spondees and amphibraics slow you down. An amphibraic, by the way, is a stressed syllable surrounded by 2 non-stressed syllables. "We moved to Wisconsin" would be a sentence in amphibraic form, amphibraic diameter. In the moment when the speed of a piece is critical, or in the moment when the drawing out of a moment, the moment of tension is critical, you want the reader to slow down, to feel stuttered onto that moment, meter can help give you just a little bit more control. If you establish a meter, it goes faster. If you keep switching, it slows the reader down. If you get a good meter going, then put the brakes on it, the reader will suddenly feel like they've hit into something. And if it's that turning moment of the line that you hit the brakes on, you can add just a little bit more punch to it. If you land suddenly on a spondee, or a spondee diameter, which is also called a dispondee, the reader feels a bit of a shock. It's very subtle, but it adds a kick if it's right at the right moment. That should be that kind of shocking. He said and she said are sometimes thrown into a passage of dialogue to insert an iamb, a single meter, a beat, as it were. You want to be careful to break things up, or your work, be it poetry or prose, will run into the sing-song. Even Shakespeare doesn't maintain perfect iambic pentameter throughout, because it would actually sound bad. One more thing I wanted to bring to your attention about all this is a phyrus, which is 2 short syllables. It gives a murmuring, soft moment. We could talk about Bacchus, which is a short, long, long, or we could talk about Antispart, which is a short, long, long, short, or the minor Ionic, which is short, short, long, long, or the very useful Quatuor Paean, which is short, 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 long. Think about Beethoven's 5th, da, 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 da. The important thing here is that to hear the meter, not in the whole novel, but in its most important parts, you want to listen to the music of your work and to know how to use that underlying rhythm, that underlying drum beat to get the effect you want. And over time, it's just going to be over automatic. You'll stop paying attention to it and it will fill the novel. The first thing to do is to read the work aloud slowly and then read it aloud with stresses in place and try to figure out how each sentence is built in terms of meter. Where does your tongue fly along? Where are you forced to slow down? Can you force a slowdown when you need one? Can you speed things up along the line when you need to? And once you can do that, you get a little bit more control of how the reader experiences the speed of the story. You're not going to want every moment to be fast. You don't want everything to dida, didi, 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 straight through. You kind of want to stutter at some point. You kind of want to have the reader stop or slow at some point. You've got the character creeping down the hallway and that moment of tension. Something could jump out from anywhere. Right before the thing jumps out from somewhere, you want to put in a slowing meter or something to just get them to pull back. Or maybe you want them to notice a detail. And that's a way to get them to notice it, because the word will just, the phrase will just slow them down a little bit. Or you can get a really good meter going and have them fly straight over detail, registering it only slightly, and kind of hide it there to pull it up later if you're writing a mystery, hiding it in plain sight, as it were. So your prompt for this time is to find one or two lines of fast action in one of your stories and rewrite it in an iambic form. Then find a tense line or two and write that in first epitrite, which is short, long, 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 and see what that does for your prose. That should wrap us up for this time. Until next time, feed the muse and keep writing. Some of the music provided tonight from the Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.
Look up and reach down to a box of dreams and pick anyone you like. Choose the one that will make you the happiest, but you gotta picture it first.